said his first word?
No, he didn't.
He did.
I told Patrick in advance that I was going to argue with him on this. Timmy made noise.
Let me guess. I already know what it is.
Well, harder than what you did.
That's a great guess.
No, because guess. This is every child in America, and every mom hangs her head because it's always dada.
Except it wasn't dada. It was da 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 da.
I know, but still.
Counts. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, is Pastor David.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
All right. This is just a few weeks till Christmas.
Happy Advent, everybody.
Happy Advent. Yeah. Yes, we are in the home stretch of Christmas.
This will be coming out on the third week of it.
Yeah, we've lit the pink candle.
Yeah, we lit the pink candle yesterday.
Yeah, so there you go.
Joy.
One more candle left.
Two.
No, just joy. It's just the joy candle. No, that's not yet. That's not till Christmas Eve. You stop that.
You're not allowed
to
sing Christmas songs with Pastor David.
World. Read my shirt today.
It says Christmas music.
24/7.
24/7.
So, this is just a funny aside. I don't know if we're going to be able to use this or not, but it's a funny aside.
Sure.
In the current hymnal that is used in most Evangelical Lutheran Church in America churches, there's a misprint because there are little subheadings over the hymns that tell you which season of the church year or something it's appropriate for.
Yes.
And Joy to the World is technically listed as an Advent hymn because they forgot to switch the heading.
We get to sing it.
Sing an Advent.
Go ahead. That's what I was saying.
Martin Luther decreed.
No, that's not how that works.
Jesus ordained it.
Nope. That's also, all right.
Editor mistake.
There's just so much wrong there that I don't even feel like it's worthy of my attention.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Jesus does not care if you sing Joy to the World.
I agree. I did not say that Jesus cared.
Okay. Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
Nope. Absolutely not.
Completely done.
Since July.
Yeah.
No.
Katie's ahead of the game. I am not done either. I will probably order some stuff off Amazon.
I have not bought a single thing for Christmas yet.
But I'm not done wrapping. I have four presents left.
Present in 30 seconds.
My wife bought some stuff, for the gifts we're giving as a couple.
Yeah.
And that's pretty traditional, I suppose.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Yep, that's the way things go.
Every wife has to tell her husband what you're getting your nieces, your nephews, your
I'm an integral part of the decision-making process.
Are you good for you?
Yeah. I don't typically do the actual purchasing because she's better about that, but I am often a part of the conversation of this would be a good idea. Or this. Yeah.
Well, if you're looking for something.
I'm the cool uncle.
Here's a neat thing. Do you guys do stockings?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah, it's filled with treats and treasures.
Yeah, just little things, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a new stocking you can hang up over your mantle this year.
Excellent.
Hidden Valley Ranch is selling a stocking filled with 52 ounces of ranch dressing.
A stocking filled with 52 ounces? So it's like the stocking.
In bottles.
No.
The stocking is the container.
The stocking
for the ranch.
Is the container. It is a plastic stocking.
So you just have like a little spout on the bottom. You just like crank it open and it drizzles out on your eggnog. And
you take your plate of whatever carrots over there.
Right, over to the fireplace and drizzle your.
Yes. Would you want a 52-ounce ranch stocking?
I don't want any amount of ranch stocking.
And if your fireplace is on, it would be warm.
Heat up that ranch. Yeah, a nice warm ranch.
No.
Yes.
Yuck. No, yuck.
We live in Texas, so your fireplace is not on. But
no, I'm just saying.
Now, if this was like a nice Chipotle ranch or something like that, or some sort of spicy Chipotle, that could be. Yeah.
Like a buffalo ranch?
Sure.
Maybe.
Like a cranch?
No, not like a cranch. That's not the same thing. That's disgusting.
Maybe you could do that for
cranch
your
sounds like a, who's that guy that we talked about last year? Krampus. Yeah,
Krampus.
That's what cranch reminds me of. Yeah,
yeah, you could
like
put
a
up a
Christmas meanie.
I mean, if you want, you can make your own cranch. You could have your ranch stocking, your ketchup stocking, your mayonnaise stocking. You just go from place to place.
And then it can be
place.
Like the yogurt places where like you have them spots where they come together.
I like it. Yeah, you could do these things.
I think we're missing a marketing opportunity to start a all condiment store where you go and it just,
But you must bring your own food.
Right, bring your own food to our
condiment this
store.
Is exclusive and limited edition sold through the Hidden Valley website for their 12 days of Ranchmas.
Oh, gross.
So there's other things you can buy, ranch themed things like a ranch onesies for Christmas. So they have ranch bottles all over there, ranch pet blankets, ranch pillows.
Nice.
Okay, but here's the deal. So I'm going to be honest.
You would wear the ranch onesie?
No. Hidden Valley Ranch is not.
It's not a good ranch?
No.
What's the good ranch?
Newman's
Own? I have yet to find a store-bought ranch that I enjoy.
I don't even... What do you make ranch? Like, you make your ranch yourself?
Yeah, where are you getting this ranch that you do like, then?
Chili's. Chili's has awesome ranch.
$20 says Chili's uses Hidden Valley.
No, yeah, they absolutely do not.
Chili's is definitely not making their own ranch. They don't have the super ranch recipe.
I don't know where they get
the
it
from. The
cook
back there stirring a big vat of ranch. Look, Chili's is like every other chain restaurant. Is making their food in a microwave.
Chili's has good ranch.
And... yeah.
True story.
And their ranch came in a giant vat.
Well, then I need to know, okay, listener, maybe next time you go eat at Chili's,
you're just not buying Hidden Valley in large enough quantities. You need to get the vat of Hidden Valley.
No, it's not the same.
Sure. It's probably also like a couple of years old, you know.
Maybe that's it. You need aged ranch.
Aged ranch.
Like a fine wine or a cheddar. Yeah, an aged ranch dressing.
I have another bit of news. This is this is heartwarming news.
Oh, good, because that one made me throw up a little bit. So.
Before we get into some things that are not as heartwarming.
All right.
Secret Santa offers to foot the bill for a whole town's movie tickets.
Wow.
A Secret Santa in Webster...
To see what movie?
Let me keep it. Yeah. A Secret Santa in Webster City...
Where is Webster City?
I don't know.
It's by Houston, right?
No. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know.
Webster, Dickinson, yeah.
I mean, that might be a place, but is that the Webster that we're talking about?
I don't know. Not in my article here, so I don't know.
This is very informative. Okay.
you took us down this path.
It seemed like a reasonable question.
It doesn't matter. All right, well, anyway, this Secret Santa has bought 8 showings of the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood film about Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
And that are free to the public. So here are 8 different showings. You can show up and you get to go for free.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I've heard it's less about I've heard it's less about Mr. Rogers and more about like the story of the guy who's encountered, which I think is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty nice Christmas gift here from our Secret Santa. The theater has said like it's been the talk of the town. Everybody's saying, is this real? Did somebody really going to pay for all these people to come to the movies? And yes, it is. It is real. You can go there, watch the movie for free.
Very cool.
The popcorn and stuff is not free.
Sure.
You know, so you
they didn't buy your drinks too.
Yeah. The Secret Santa did not do those things. You can sneak in your thing of ranch, your stocking of ranch in your jacket to sprinkle on. Yeah. The Secret Santa has chosen to remain anonymous.
Hence the secret.
Yes. The definition of charity is to give without any expectation of return, the donor said. And if you can take anything away from this, be inspired to be kind to one another.
That's from the...
That's from the donor.
Well, how did we know what the donor said if they wanted to be anonymous?
Well, they still probably had to, you know, go through some paperwork and figure, you know, go to the place to pay for these tickets. And maybe they asked why, you know, so...
And they said... That's cool. My story.
I really want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole Bible study,
Webster,
too.
Webster City.
Webster City something.
December 20th. You can go see it for free at any of the 8 showings.
Which Webster?
Webster City.
The Webster City.
Yes. Okay. I'll get right on that.
Start calling around.
Named after the childhood star from the 1980s. Yes. Emmanuel Lewis.
Aw, Webster.
Yeah. You're too young.
I mean, I know who he is. But
you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice offer there. Have you ever done a Secret Santa?
Yeah, all the time.
Yes.
But my Secret Santas always end up being revealed.
Yes, we end up revealing them.
Yeah, ours too. Every Secret Santa.
We actually do a Secret Santa among the adults in my family. So like, rather than everybody buying everything for like 50 people, we just do a Secret Santa exchange.
Mm-hmm. I have a funny story about Secret Santa. My wife, their office does Secret Santa.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to fill out a form.
It's a dangerous game.
Of like things you want on your Secret Santa. And one year she got somebody that was impossible to shop for.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like, what's your favorite like treat, unhealthy treat? Burger King Whoppers. What do you do with that?
$5 gift card to Burger King.
Yeah, that's what I said. Give them a burger. And then it was like, what's your favorite food? Soup. What are you supposed to do?
Cans of soup.
Yeah, that's what I said. Get him a can of soup.
This is a piece of cake. I don't see the problem.
That's not a gift. That's an insane gift.
It's what they asked for.
Yeah. What do you things you collect? Stocking hats. I mean, these are crazy.
Wait,
stocking hats.
Oh, like knit stocking caps.
Yes. Like a Santa hat would be a stocking cap.
Okay.
Yes. But it's it wouldn't necessarily be a Santa hat.
But yeah, that would be in that
like a cold weather hat. That has like a tail on it.
I don't know. It's weird. She had some weird stuff.
A beanie with a tail.
Yeah.
She had some weird stuff on her things to shop for. It was tough to go to Bed Bath & Beyond the night before and figure it out.
People be crazy. I get it.
Well, let's
You're not going to find good soup at Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's true. Right. I think we got a soup bowl.
I think there's
bowl.
Like soup mixes.
I think that's what
like
we got.
Little,
I think like a soup in a mason jar type of thing.
Yeah. Like
you probably could have gotten her an Instant Pot, let her make her own soup.
We're not buying an Instant Pot. This is there's a
Santa.
Limit. Yeah, this is.
You can get like the tiny ones, like or a tiny
and how much
crock
is
pot?
A tiny Instant Pot?
I don't know. Get a tiny crock pot. Those are like $20.
Yeah, this is already that's already more than it's supposed to be total.
$20 is more.
It was like $20.
Yeah, you do like something every day. We did that when I was.
It was something every day.
Oh, that's exhausting. I don't have time for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. That was exhausting, especially when they don't help you out at all. by asking for crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So
Burger King Whoppers.
All right, let's move on to our big stories. We have two big stories we're going to be covering today. A church nativity scene depicts Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as refugees separated in cages. California church is displaying a nativity scene with these traditional nativity figures in cages to draw attention to the conditions faced by migrants seeking asylum in the United States. Claremont United Methodist Church, about 30 miles, I know where this one is, 30 miles east of Los Angeles.
I actually know where Claremont is, okay.
Posted the photo on its website showing the three held in separate cages topped with barbed wire. Baby Jesus is wrapped in a silver foil blanket. This has been circling...
What kind of church was it? Sorry.
It's a Methodist church.
Methodist church, okay.
So this has been circling the social meds lately. I've seen it on Facebook. It's been hotly debated on the Christianity Reddit that I go to occasionally.
Sounds like a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm. It can be. But multiple articles have been posted there where people have debated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So this has been passing out. Did you know about this before?
I did know about this. Yes.
I'm sure many of our listeners probably have seen this.
If you've
engaged with social media, you've probably come across it.
Or frankly, probably the news. I mean, it's kind of caught mainstream at this point.
All right, what is your initial thoughts? What do you think here?
Well, I think on the one hand, we know that there are things happening in the world today that are sad and that are awful, and separating families and I, of course, would never want my family separated or put into cages or detained, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it does, at the first look at it, make me go, ooh, like, ouch. Like, that that hurts, you know. And then at the same time, I think, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, you know, we say that the church and the state are separated and what's happening politically, even though it's an injustice, it's kind of the nativity, like, to do that to the Christmas story. Sure. I don't know. It's a catch 22. I think it's bringing about awareness clearly for what's happening. But at the same time, like, to do that with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I think for me, there are two competing issues here. I mean, one is my conviction as a pastor and as a person of faith. And from that perspective, I don't feel like that's a helpful use of the nativity story. I think we're missing some of the, there are certainly elements of this. And I've talked about this myself, that there are ways in which we can look at Jesus's story of having to flee Bethlehem and go to Egypt in order to avoid being killed by Herod. You know, we can look at that and see his family as a form of refugee that had to flee for persecution, etc. And so there's definitely elements of that story that I see as being really important. I don't think this is a helpful way to get at that story. Mm. I feel like this is another avenue that causes us to move towards division rather than moving towards a solution for a problem. That being said, I also believe firmly in free speech. And so I would not do this. I would not advocate my church doing this, or I should say a church that I work at, because it's God's church. It's not my church. Yeah. I would not advocate a church that I work for doing this, but you know, they also have the right to do it. And so I'm not going to sit here and yell at them for doing that just because they want to express that in a different way than I do. I don't think it's the way that I would express it. I don't personally find it helpful, but you know, free speech says they have a right to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got into it a little bit with a stranger on Facebook over this.
Always a good plan.
Yeah, you know, but this is a sentiment that I've seen often, and you know, maybe we can address this, like, well, Jesus wasn't a refugee, you know, and Mary and Joseph were not refugees, and I think a theme we've seen that maybe our listeners have encountered is people saying, like, well, Egypt and Israel were both part of Rome, and so he did not cross a national border.
Sure.
And that is, by our modern definition of refugee, that is one of the check marks, is you cross a border to become a refugee. And an analogy often used is, like, it's the equivalent of moving from X state to Y state here in the United States, whether that's California to Texas, New York to whatever.
Sure.
No, it doesn't matter. I take umbrage with that. Now, we can argue the sentiment of does Jesus meet our year 2019 definition of refugee, yes or no. But Israel and Egypt are not states in the Roman government. No. These are not willing participants in the Roman Empire. They were conquered countries that are under Roman occupation, oppressed against their will by the Roman authorities.
With historic division between, I mean, they've been in tenuous alliances and divisions throughout their
So these are places that do not speak the same language. They do not have the same culture. They do not have, it's not the same as state to state in the same, in the same, ultimately the same country. This is completely different. I would say a better modern day equivalent would be like if you look at the British Empire and somebody going from like British-controlled India to British-controlled Persia. You know, British, maybe technically you're still in the British Empire, but you're going to a place that is not
very different.
That is not your homeland. That is, and maybe they're close geographically, and they have the same oppressors, but they are not, that is not your homeland.
Sure, and I mean, we can also think about the fact that citizenship would have been very different then. So Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, by all intents and purposes, were not Roman citizens. They lived under the Roman Empire, but they would not have had citizenship in the Roman Empire, so they wouldn't have had the same ability to move from one place to another as a Roman citizen would have, or as a citizen of the United States would have today. So, I mean, I think that's another piece that we can throw in there.
And Herod was killing babies. Like, that needs to be also kind of put out there. Babies under the age of two were being slaughtered in this village. And we don't know how many babies this was.
Right.
This is the story we're getting here. This is what King King Herod is doing. That is perfectly reasonable, I think, to flee. So if a even if you want to say the United States, if the governor of, you know, Washington was murdering babies, surely you would think somebody would intervene there to make that stop. And Jesus did not have that option. The Romans were not intervening.
Right.
You know, the Caesar did not come down to punish King Herod. They were left on their own.
Yeah.
And so they had to flee to a different culture. So even if they don't, even if they don't cross a national border, I still think there are similarities enough with our war-torn refugees fleeing oppression that we can say there's similarities.
Yeah.
And even I'd say, you say like, you still disagree with me, or if you're listening, you're still, I think one thing that is undeniable, though, is Jesus will say in Matthew 25, which we talked about last week, he identifies with the poor, the oppressed, the hungry. He says he's present there. So even if you say like, oh, he's not technically a refugee, Jesus identifies with refugees. He, Jesus says, I am there where refugees are. I am there where immigrants are. Any person on our southern border that is separated from their children, Jesus is there.
Right.
Like, whether or not you you agree with it, you like the policy, you dislike the policy, it's undeniable that Jesus is present with the hungry and the oppressed. And those are hungry and oppressed people. So that's undeniable. So I think the statement, whether or not he's refugee or not, is irrelevant. This is a fitting analogy. Whether, but now it, now we have to ask, is it an appropriate analogy that we've been kind of been touching on?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an element of responsibility that a church takes when they make a statement of that of this nature. And I think we have to be careful, not that we shouldn't make statements of this sort ever, but we have to be careful with how that statement's going to be interpreted by people who don't know everything that's gone into that, right? I mean, even we, as people who share their Christian faith, I mean, Lutherans and Methodists are pretty close on a lot of things, so we could say we share a lot of things that they would share with. You know, I don't know what went into the process. You know, was this a rogue committee that said, hey, we're going to do this. This is the Worship in the Arts Committee, and we're going to do this thing, and no one else is going to know about it. And so the council is now, like, you know, freaking out or whatever. Or is this like a, no, we came together as a congregation, and we made a whole vote and a policy, and this is what we're going to do, and these are the other action steps that we're taking that go along with. I think there's a lot of things that go along with this that we don't get from just a picture and a headline on social media, to be sure. It would be a shame, in my view, if this were the only thing the church was doing, right? If the church says, hey, we're going to do this thing, but we're not actually going to take any action to care for people who are in our community, or to you know, advocate for something else somewhere on the border, or, you know, we're just going to do this thing, cause a lot of ruckus, and then we're going to feel better about ourselves, that would be very problematic. And that, to me, would really feel like the ultimate misuse of the story, right? Because now we're just using Jesus' story to our own benefit to make ourselves feel more comfortable, like, oh, well, I've done something by doing this thing, rather than saying, no, Jesus' story convicted me to take action that makes me uncomfortable or that puts me in a position that's uncomfortable, because I feel called to care for someone that I feel is being mistreated, whatever that situation might be.
Well, I can't speak to those things. I can give you...
Sure. I didn't expect you to have those answers.
Yes. The lead pastor, Karen Clark Ristein, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, did make a Facebook post and in interviews. These are some quotes from her. So,
okay.
So I do have things. So... in order to – why they did this, they said, what we thought about the most famous refugee family in the world, the family of Jesus. Again, we debated the idea of refugees. Mm-hmm. I think regardless of our national definition, I think it's okay. And they came, what if this family – they came to this conclusion of, what if this family sought refuge in our country today? The biblical story of Mary and Joseph fleeing from Israel to Egypt to escape King Herod's decree that all baby boys should be killed is symbolic of the plight of thousands of refugees seeking asylum in America today. So, I mean, it is at least thoughtful. I mean, the church is willing to put their thought process out there. Again, you could disagree or agree with that thought process, but they are willing to put that out there. They're not just saying, here this is, take some photos of it for your Instagram and get mad on Facebook and move on.
Right.
So she said, imagine Joseph and Mary separated at the border and Jesus, no older than two, taken from his mother and placed behind the fences of a border patrol at detention center as more than 5,500 children have been in the past 3 years. Now, this is... obviously tough. And we've talked a few weeks ago, we talked about refugees and immigration. I think many of us, regardless of maybe even the side of the political spectrum you stand on, look at families being separated. Mm-hmm. You look at kind of this zero tolerance policy that's been in effect and has since been curtailed as difficult, as wrong. I mean, in fact, kind of universally criticized. I mean, by people on every aspect of the political spectrum, criticize this idea of like family separation as a deterrent to immigration and refugee status. And it's also undeniable that we had children in the United States care and these things that have since been lost.
Yeah,
that we don't know where they are anymore. That we sent them out for being fostered and they will never be reunited with their families. And one boy who was a teenager and here alone put in one of these places and died from the flu. This is a fact. These are not, you know, happenstance. And so my hope is we look at that situation, our hearts do break because it is heartbreaking, regardless of what you think about immigration, border patrol. Yeah,
children dying anywhere is heartbreaking.
A child dying of the flu when that shouldn't happen is heartbreaking. Yeah. A child separated from their family and never being able to be reunited is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if the family is better off that they're with right now, more financially stable or secure.
Right.
It's heartbreaking.
Yep.
No one will want that for their own children.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of this idea of like, now it's we're taking this politicized event and attaching it to our Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is difficult. And you know, and I think we're kind of dancing around this: should or should not that happen? And I think that's tougher to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, not everybody's on board. Here's some comments on Facebook.
Good.
Here we go. Yay. It is disrespectful, in my view, to put the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in a cage at any time. Your political views should not be mixed with the birth of our Savior. Shame on you.
From who?
One user. So these are not famous people. So
random Facebook user
random
number
Facebook
one.
User, yeah. Okay. Facebook That's, user number yep. one. Another user, you know, the contrary thing. Does the world's most famous and worshipped refugee separate in cages make you uncomfortable, USA? It does. Good. So, I mean, I think... we're seeing these things. So I don't think anybody is necessarily saying like, I would want baby Jesus separated from his mother and father if they came to this country. But it's saying, is it okay to politicize Christmas?
Right.
What do we think?
I mean, Christmas is already a cultural holiday.
Yeah.
And so I mean, the simple fact that we're, and this, you're going to get on me about Advent and I get it, but the simple fact that we're like talking about the 12 days of what, Ranchmas?
Yeah.
Ranchmas, you know, when, in fact, the 12 days of Christmas start on December 25th. They don't lead up to December 25th, right? So, I mean, the simple fact that we've already moved that in many ways from a religious holiday into a cultural holiday, it's already intertwined. And so I think we need to be aware that that shift has happened. Not that we don't reclaim the pieces that we want to reclaim. I mean, that's something that... It's one of the reasons that I think Advent is so crucial for us as a religious body is because it allows us to say, look, this... These weeks leading up to Christmas are not Christmas yet. This is different. It isn't just what the culture is telling us about buying ranch and getting whatever, right? It's there's something different happening here. We're preparing for something else that's coming into the world because we're hoping and praying and longing for that day when Jesus is going to come back. And We're not going to have to worry about people being separated at a border. We're not going to have to worry about children dying separated from their families. We're not going to have to worry about people dying with their families, because we're going to be reunited in that kingdom of God that we long for. And that's what Advent is all about, that we're preparing for that coming, and we remember and celebrate that coming on Christmas. So, yeah, there are definitely aspects of that that have political ramifications.
Sure.
And I think that's a reasonable thing for us to think about, because if I'm praying for and longing for the kingdom of God to come and be present on earth, the world in which I live is not in alignment with the kingdom of God. It's not, and won't be until Jesus comes back, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to advocate, to do our part to try to find a way in which we can be more like the kingdom of God, where the world can be a more more just and healthy and equality-based place. That's a terrible sentence. I'm sorry. We have that responsibility too. So, A, Christmas is a cultural holiday, not just a religious holiday. Mm-hmm. B, from a religious perspective, the implications of Advent and Christmas should certainly have implications on how we engage in the world of politics that we live in. Mm-hmm. And C, I still would not take this church's particular avenue. That's not a tactic that I would invoke.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, C, subpart D.
I concur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, so formal.
The message of Christmas I'm glad that the church is broad and big in the United States, and a church here in California can do this, and many, many churches choose not to, and that they can draw attention to something while other churches where they're culturally and community located are drawing attention to other things. But this is not the message of Christianity is solely to end this policy or what's going on the border.
Mm-hmm.
It is ultimately divided to bridge a bigger divide between rich, poor, or between country to country. It's to bridge the divide between God and man.
Yeah.
And that is much harder and much more complicated, much more fearful of that divide. And maybe complicated is a weird term, because it's solved very, very easily through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how it works.
I don't know that I call the crucifixion easy, but sure. Yeah,
well, it's easy for the recipients.
Right.
Fair enough, yeah.
But how it plays out in our history has obviously been complicated. But I do think that Christmas is primarily focused in on this idea of like Jesus is coming into this world to bridge the gap between God and man, to fill in those things, and to be not only the savior of mankind, but the one who intercedes for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a beautiful image, and it's also juxtaposed between a hard, cold world sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And both those things can be true. Let's move on to our next story here.
I'll just say this before we move on.
Yes.
Even if Jesus had come across the border now and had been separated from his family and had been put into a cage, even if that had been the situation in the world into which Jesus was born, God would still have been able to accomplish what God needed to accomplish.
Yes.
Which is not to justify
anything
on either side, but it is to say, like, it's kind of like the God in schools conversation that we've had before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Us saying, oh, you know, we're not going to pray in school, we're not going to have public prayer in school, does not prevent God from being in that place and being present and doing what God needs to get done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Now I'm ready to move on. I've had
nowhere, nowhere.
I'll step down off this particular soapbox.
All right, well, we were going from...
covering in soapbox number two.
Yes.
And now I'm ready.
Well, we're going from California to Georgia.
Ooh.
Yes. Here we go.
I was going to try and figure out how long of a flight that might be.
I don't know. Do we get a meal or a
couple?
Video?
That's definitely probably
that's
a meal.
Be like
that's a couple hours.
4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. They really don't. They don't give out those meals much more anymore. Especially on domestic flights.
Yeah,
domestic flights.
Yeah, you're probably getting.
You get peanuts or pretzels.
You might get two snacks.
Yeah, you might get. I'd say two snacks.
There's probably a meal for purchase.
Or you might get
movies. Oh yeah.
I mean, I get movies like anyway because they've got the in-flight whatever now. And
you have to download it on your phone though. All right, well here we go. It's in Georgia.
To Georgia.
Georgia councilman. So this is a city councilman.
Did we fly into Atlanta? Where'd we go?
I don't know. Cleveland. No, not Cleveland.
Cleveland's in Ohio.
I can't on first glance see where this is.
Okay.
There's also Cleveland, Texas. But yeah. Georgia councilman's defiant.
I get a little confused every time I see the sign for Cleveland, Texas. Like, man, they really want me to know where. All right. That's
right up there. Yes.
Georgia, it's in the right direction. That's the problem.
Georgia councilman's defiant opposition to interracial marriage leads to his resignation.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes.
Councilman, what level are we talking here?
So he's city councilman.
City councilman.
I have the city here.
Okay.
Houston?
Sure.
Houston.
Houston, all right.
Houston city councilman Jim Cleveland said he chose to...
Oh, there's the Cleveland, okay.
Yes. Teddy chose to resign to avoid facing voters in a recall election next month, and he didn't want to give his opponents the pleasure of saying they voted him out.
Okay.
So this is not somebody who was exposed, you know, private conversation was exposed and resigned in disgrace. He's saying, I believe this.
Right. I'm open about this. Yep.
He's served for 10 years, and now I just don't want my opponents to say...
I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Yeah, that I got... Yeah, I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Hmm.
Don't worry. Jim Cleveland here cites his Christian beliefs on why interracial marriage is wrong.
What's Mr. Cleveland got to say?
He does not give these Christian beliefs an explanation, really, about these Christian beliefs, except for, I'll skip ahead on this, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and I've been taught to believe, and it makes a lot of sense to me, that God created all these different races, and if he had wanted them all commingled into one race, he would have done it himself. Why did he create all these races if he didn't mean for us to be separated by race?
Sure.
So this isn't pointing to any particular verse or story in Scripture. This is just... I see there's different races, and there you go. God, yeah,
there it is.
If God wanted to fix it, God would fix
it. God said so, right. Yeah. If God, which completely discounts the fact that maybe God is fixing it by allowing people to, like, maybe that's what God is doing, but, you know. No,
it's through interracial marriage.
Right, yes. Maybe. Yeah, who knows? But no,
and, like,
if God,
who are
if God
we to, like, assume what God's plan is?
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
City Councilman Jim Cleveland. That's who he is.
I mean, like, that just, wow.
So I was curious, because you sent this out to us ahead of time so that we could prep a little bit for this. And so
correct.
I went and looked on the Southern Baptist Convention's website to look at some of their.
Yeah, I do not believe that this is currently a policy, but, but maybe you'll surprise me.
No, so I read the Baptist Faith and Message, which is kind of the Southern Baptist Convention's central creed. Right? They don't think of it like we. They don't think of it in quite the same way that we do the Apostles' Creed, but it's that kind of concept. And this is actually a document on their website, sbc.net, that compares the 1925 version, the 1963 version, and the 2000 version. Right.
Okay.
So,
okay.
1925, you can think in the middle of kind of Jim Crow South, lots of really terrible stuff going on at that point.
Mm-hmm.
1963, middle of civil rights era, and then 2000, lots of high racial tension times.
Yes.
I am confident that there are people in the Southern Baptist Church who were teaching Jim Cleveland exactly what he says he believed.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, too.
But even in these documents back as far as 1925, I cannot find anything in their central documents that say, this is what we as a church believe. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be marrying people of other races. There are plenty of policies. I mean, the Southern Baptist Church was born out of a division over slavery, over
correct.
Whether or not we should have abolition or not. So, you know, certainly there's a history there. But to the Southern Baptist Church's credit, in recent years, say the last 20 to 30 years especially, they've done far more towards moving to be a more diverse body and a mm-hmm. body that's more widely representative, at least racially, mm-hmm. Than the Lutheran Church has.
It has.
Certainly. You know, they have a much more extensive reach into the Asian American community and into into the African American community as well. So, you know, I want to be clear here. Mr. Cleveland has a stance that he was taught that I firmly believe is in error,
mm-hmm.
And that I also believe he learned in a church where most churches now of that same vein would say, yeah, we don't,
mm-hmm.
we don't think that, and mm-hmm. we don't believe that, and whatever you were taught was wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, you know, back in, what year was it, when the young man shot the people in the church in Charleston in Emmanuel, that was 2015, I think,
sure.
You know, that young man, Dylan was his name, he was from a Lutheran church in Columbia, South Carolina. He was confirmed in a Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you, because I know the pastor who was there, that he was not taught that a race war was in line with what God had in store for his life.
Yeah.
Right? That is not what he learned in church. And yet, he's now, because of the action he took, a representative of the Lutheran church and of the ELCA in
mm-hmm.
that sense. So,
yeah.
You know, Yeah, Jim is making a huge error in biblical interpretation,
mm-hmm.
But I do not want to paint the Southern Baptist Convention with an unfair brush based on this man's statement.
I know you're
not doing that.
Yeah.
I just want to be crystal
sure.
clear that we
right.
you know, we don't want to do that.
I agree completely. And his personal church may be an awful church that taught these things.
Sure.
And maybe it didn't come from the pulpit, but people talked about it openly or on their things.
Yeah.
And so that's how he learned it in church. I have no idea.
Right.
I am going to say I'm against Jim Cleveland's point of view.
Yes.
And I am against, if that point of view was taught to him in church, I am against that church.
Yep, absolutely. Like, yeah.
I think those things happen. I do, but again, as you mentioned, Southern Baptist Church, much more racially diverse than the Lutheran Church. Every branch of the Lutheran Church.
Yep.
Progressive, conservative,
all of it.
Still pretty white.
Yep.
So they've done better, even with things like this,
yes,
at reaching a minority community than the Lutherans have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that, and that's a story for another day. What we do Lutherans have to look
why are we bad at that?
To look at ourselves in the mirror and say, right, what are we doing wrong?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how is this an easier message for a minority community to get mm-hmm. over than whatever we're doing? Here's another quote from Mr. Jim Cleveland. I am still, in my opinion, a respected member of this community.
Good.
I'm sure it's his opinion. I have more people, I believe, that feel the way I do about everything. But the ones that are against me are a very, very vocal group. And I'm just tired of hearing it. They are calling me a racist, and I don't consider myself a racist, and I'll tell you why. I have very good friends that are black.
Excellent.
I have Spanish, Asians, and all kinds of members of my church, and none of them consider me a racist. So what do you think? Is this a racist point of view, or is Jim Cleveland right to say, I'm not a racist?
I think it is fair to make the argument that if someone says, I'm of this race and you're of another race, and that means we should not get married and no one should be allowed to get married across, mm-hmm. I think it is fair to say that that is a racist position. I think that the implication there is that there is something wrong with the other race that means that we should not be married.
Mm-hmm.
And if your implication is that another race has something wrong with it, to me, that is at the root of a racist position. So I do not think it is out of line to say that standing against interracial marriage is racist. I do not think that's out of line. Now, his Mr. Cleveland's circle of friends may very well agree with him. And so the voices that he hears on a regular mm-hmm. basis may very well all agree with what he says. And maybe he does have people who are of other races who agree with him also. Maybe he has... because there's a history of people wanting people to marry people of your own background from across the border, right? Or from across the world, right?
Sure.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
We hear the stories of people wanting to find a nice young Jewish boy or a nice young Asian woman or something like that, right? Like, there have been those stories across cultures.
Yeah, this is
right.
White people are not the only people
right.
that could think this.
So, yeah, maybe he has friends who are of different races that share a similar view. Like, yeah, we should all be marrying people of our own cultural background. However, I think that stance in general, saying no one should be allowed to marry people who are of a different race, I believe that is a stance that it is fair to call racist.
Yeah, I think that's also fair. Mm-hmm. And Jim may feel he is not a racist. And I think this is sure. probably an interesting point that maybe every person kind of needs to wrestle with.
Yeah.
You know, how much prejudice do I have in myself based on race? And sometimes it's easy to be like, well, I'm not in the Ku Klux Klan. I don't use ethnic slurs. I don't...
Right.
willfully go out of my way to make the world a harder place
mm-hmm.
for my minority brothers and sisters or from a different religion or a different gender. Mm-hmm. I don't go out of my way to make those things. Yet, I could still hold on to something like this and still pat myself on the back and say I'm not racist.
Well,
and I think that makes we maybe make that a little too easy in our culture to say, this is a racist thought. Whether mm-hmm. you think you're racist or not, mm-hmm. this is one.
Yeah.
You are thinking like a racist would, yeah. like regardless of how you identify.
Yeah. And even if we don't hold on, and this is probably a maybe an argument for another day, but even if you didn't hold this particular view, right, you could do all the things that you said, right? Not standing in the way, not actively using racial slurs, not using hateful language. We are still, by our nature, born into systems that have been set up to be advantageous for some and disadvantageous for others. And so even if we do not personally hold those opinions, we have benefited from certain stances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the same story for every person, but every person has encountered places in which they have benefited from one thing or another that someone else hasn't benefited from. And we get really hung up and defensive about this idea of, well, I'm not a racist. Okay, that's fine. And we can have that conversation. But at the same time, why are we so afraid to admit that maybe we have had advantage or maybe someone else has had advantages? And that's none of those things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That in both of those scenarios, the desire of God is that those things not exist. The desire of God is that we are, there is no longer Jew or Greek or Gentile mm-hmm. or slave or free mm-hmm. or slave or female or male, right? There is only one in the body of Christ. And so why don't we all just take a step back and why are we so uncomfortable saying, yeah, I'm a part of a system that mm-hmm. is trapped in sin, and that sin involves racism, that sin involves sexism, that sin involves corruption, that sin involves greed. I'm part of systems that are caught up in that, and I cannot get out of it on my own, and mm-hmm. that's why we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It is not a bad thing mm-hmm. for us to admit in our faith, I'm a part of a system that I don't even mm-hmm. fully understand. That does mm-hmm. not make us less of a person. Mm-hmm. That does not make us less of a Christian. That does not make us less of someone who wants what's best for the world. Mm-hmm. It means that we are honest with our state as human beings in this world in which we live that is trapped in sin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the small town Georgia
doesn't agree with me.
No. Well, the small town Georgetown.
Mr. Cleveland does not agree with me.
Mr. Cleveland probably does not.
That's fine.
He does not speak to that.
Jesus loves Mr. Cleveland too, and there is redemption for him.
Absolutely.
In all things.
And I think that's the most.
But this position is not going to be part of the kingdom of God.
Agreed. I think for most things, instead of anger towards Mr. Cleveland or hope for retribution, I hope for redemption for him, for everyone else.
Absolutely.
That way they see that this is wrong. Repent in Jesus and come to a greater conclusion.
Yeah, I don't want to condemn Mr. Cleveland. I want to say this belief is wrong.
So this is how this started. The small Georgia town became the poster child for racial intolerance early this year when Cleveland, who served on the council for a decade, spoke out against interracial marriage, citing his Christian beliefs on race. And his comments were set against the backdrop of unproven claims that the city's mayor declined to hire a black candidate for the city administrator because of his race. I believe that administrator is now in a civil suit with the city that he was discriminated against by race. And so from his council seat, mm-hmm. he cited his displeasure with interracial marriage. This is not just somebody who like posted on Facebook, mm-hmm. I'm against interracial marriage. This is somebody from that position.
In a political position,
From a political position is there. So it's not just, I'm racist in private, but on the council seat, I'm unbiased.
Yeah, I'm openly saying I'm against.
I'm willing to be there. I'm willing to say these things from that position. Representatives on both sides of the political aisle in Jackson County, which encompasses Houston, rebuked his statements and even hoisted a joint effort to encourage residents to file ethics complaints against him and the mayor. Mm. So this is not just a liberals versus those conservatives. They're out to get everybody. You know, the liberal left is just out to destroy mm-hmm. everything that was small town America. Both sides of the aisle are saying, this is wrong. You should mm-hmm. file ethics complaints against both these people mm-hmm. to draw greater light to this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now both Jim Cleveland and I believe the mayor were in a recall election, and Jim Cleveland chose to resign
because he didn't want to be recalled.
Didn't want to lose. Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. Well, he never lost. So
congratulations.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he'd lost before. I don't know if he's undefeated or not. That's making assumptions.
Hmm. That's the news.
That's quite a hole we just dug into.
That is quite a hole. Let's dig ourselves
out. Need some eggnog to get out of this.
I hate eggnog.
I don't really like eggnog either. It's just the first like Christmas cheer thing I can
think of. I do, and then when there's cinnamon on the top.
Is there a Christmas cheer thing that we can think of that can bring us out of this?
It's a drink that contains eggs.
Okay, I originally thought that as well until I tasted it. And then I was like,
lots of things that I like contain eggs.
Any drinks?
Ice cream, melted.
Like
milkshakes.
I'm 38 years old and I tasted it for the first time last Christmas.
Wow.
But I finally like got up the courage to, okay, eggnog really, it's going to taste like scrambled
eggs. I think you can make ice cream.
Like that's what
eggs.
I thought. I thought it would taste like scrambled eggs.
I mean, if you make it wrong, it's going to taste like scrambled eggs.
It was very yummy.
You put enough booze in just about anything and it's going to not taste like eggs anymore. Mm-hmm.
But fair enough.
I need some holiday cheer to get me out of this funk. That was kind of a...
You should go see Knives Out. I saw that, and it was amazing.
Is that your recommendation?
That is my recommendation. I recommend that again. Knives Out are doing another recommendation this week. Knives Out is very, very good. If you like whodunits, murder mysteries, mm-hmm. I highly
And Captain it. America and sweaters.
Nope.
Yes, Captain America and James Bond are both in it. They're both great in it. Yes.
007, The Winter Soldier.
Probably the movie I would probably compare to the easiest. Did you ever see like the 80s movie Clue?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's, so I would say it's in a similar vein, and that it's a whodunit that kind of...
Is it a whodunit comedy?
That also pokes fun at the tropes of whodunit. Okay. Yes.
Are there multiple endings like the Clue?
There are not multiple endings.
That was my favorite part of Clue. Yes.
But it's a great cast. And it does get a little political at points. So, you know, watch it in preparation for your Christmas meal. So when your crazy uncle or aunt starts saying crazy political things, regardless of what side of the spectrum they may be on.
I am the crazy uncle at my family meal.
There you go. Great, So you can be ready to go.
I long for the day when I get to be the crazy uncle. Yeah. Saying whatever comes to my mind.
We have no nieces or nephews in my family right now, so we can't be crazy aunts and uncles. Only crazy parents.
There you go. You're nailing that one.
I got it.
Life goals achieved.
That one, my kids had
Yeah, sure. Merry Christmas to you. Did you have another recommendation or just Knives Out today?
Oh, that's it.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, hey, if you liked what you heard today, you can find us wherever elegantly dressed holiday podcasts are available for your consumption. And we hope that you
have a tux.
Absolutely. It's business formal every day here at Lord of Life and the Beyond Sunday Podcast. But you can find us on the website at www.beyondsundaypodcast.com. And of course, look us up on Facebook and send us an email with all of your greatest holiday memories. So that we can enjoy those with you and we can get ourselves out of this little funk and back into the holiday spirit here. You can send that email to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, big time.
On the Gmail.
Not Yahoo. Not Hotmail. Come on.
Yeah. Have we told the story on the podcast at the time we had to explain to a high schooler what AOL was? Have we had that story?
You know.
We'll save that for another day.
That's when now the mills get to point at Generation Z.
I'm the mill.
And be like, oh my gosh, Generation Z.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they don't know anything. What are they ruining?
What are you doing?
Like the first time you connected with your internet.
It sounded like you were playing Jingle Bells on the...
Sure. That was dial up.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you just right before Christmas.
Yeah. Happy almost Christmas.
Happy almost Christmas.